I want to take a moment to introduce you to an organization called Unashamed, based in Stellenbosch, and it's only 2 years old, so still in its infancy, but already making significant efforts around the themes of sexual health and well-being. It started out as an attempt to tackle the challenge of rape culture on the local university campus. It's grown since then to become an organization that is all about informing and supporting and educating students about their sexual health, their sexual rights and well-being. It's a great pleasure to welcome in studio with us today one of the co-founders of Unashamed, Rochelle Jacobs. Thanks for being with us, Rochelle.
Hi, Pippa. Thank you so much for having me.
Talk to us about what inspired this organization's beginning 2 years ago.
It actually, funnily, as everything in Stellenbosch does, started over a glass of wine with some friends. Mm-hmm. We were chatting about friends' responses to hearing that someone has been assaulted or has been raped, and how that is often one of the most difficult aspects of recovering from that kind of an assault. And we spoke about why that might be the case. Why would people treat you differently? And we came to the conclusion amongst a group of friends that it was because of the inherent sort of guilt and shame that surrounded these kinds of topics. So it started off then, and we started tackling, that's where we got the name Unashamed from. Mm-hmm. And we thought that you can combat that by talking about it. Then a few months later, I met my current co-founder, and it became sort of what it is today. Took a long time, but mm-hmm. 2 years later, we finally now sort of expanded.
And of course, last year was the big year for big conversations on university campuses across the country, not just in Stellenbosch, but there was a huge spotlight on this question of whether there was inherently a culture that underpinned and allowed the context in which rape was happening so often.
One of my sort of proudest moments working on Unashamed was one night when I got really, really angry. A friend of mine had to quite literally choose between her own safety and her education. She had a project due. She could either stay on campus and use the software and the computers that we needed to be able to complete the project, or go home and be safe. And she didn't have a car and couldn't drive, and it was late at night. And I got really annoyed. So I went onto Facebook and Twitter, and I contacted a whole bunch of people from a whole bunch of different universities. 48 hours later, Chapter 212 was trending on Twitter. And that really sort of helped move the conversation along. That started the protests at Rhodes University, Stellenbosch University, UCT. We've really been working across the board with a whole bunch of universities trying to get this conversation into the spotlight.
You certainly got it into the spotlight. It's now several months later. Has anything changed, do you think? I mean, looking at your own campus in Stellenbosch, have there been significant steps forward?
In some places. I definitely think that awareness has increased, and that was one of our original goals, right? But there's still so much work to be done. I am very impressed. I was recently afforded the opportunity to speak to the woman who ran the task team at University of Grahamstown, or Rhodes University, and see their policy that they have now developed to try and combat sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. That was quite impressive. They did quite a lot of really good work. But Stellenbosch University, I haven't seen very much from them. I haven't seen what our own task team's results were. And amongst people themselves, we still hear a lot of the same comments. We still hear, if you were wearing that, I would assume you wanted sex. If you were wearing that, then I would follow you home. You know, you still hear those things from leaders and residences.
Which is very much what we talk about when we talk about the concept of rape culture. Let's maybe take a moment, for the sake of those who don't understand what the term means and what you imply with a statement about rape culture on campus. What does it mean to you?
The very formal definition is the normalization of sexual violence against women. This is really important. It's important to understand that rape culture is very distinct from rape itself. They're not equated to one another. It's things in the music we hear where people sort of blur lines of consent. I mean, the song Blurred Lines,
Liberty, no doubt, yes,
is a very particular example. It's in movies. It's in advertising. It's anything that sort of says, you know, violence against women is okay and it's normalized. And then furthermore, it's victim blaming and saying that if a woman wears something, then she deserves what happens to her, or if she says something, then she deserves what happens to her.
Okay, thank you for that explanation. Now, out of those original conversations and that massive public spotlight, which you were looking for and got so successfully, you've gone on to broaden what Unashamed is all about and what you're doing on campus now. Can you talk to us about, I believe you've established three different portfolios tackling different aspects. Of what are those three?
So I am in charge of a portfolio on sexual agency and consent, which is very much this, you know, conversation about consent and rape culture. But also more than that, that my co-founder and I read an article, and one of the lines said, if, you know, God help us, if the best thing we can say about our sex is that it's consensual. And that's very much one of the things that we're trying to talk about, is this isn't good enough. One of the other portfolios is on sexual and mental health, and that's trying to understand, or allow people to understand things like bipolar disorder, PTSD, you know, all of depression, all of these things much better, and try and destigmatize some of the mental health issues. We also want to, in the long term, try and get STI testing more affordable on campuses. At the moment, it's incredibly expensive. And then finally, our third portfolio is on gender identity and sexuality, which looks at queer relationships and the queer community.
Those are big projects that you're tackling. I mean, that must have surely sidetracked or perhaps diverted your own studies. You must be having to give a great deal of your attention to Unashamed at the expense of your own studies, I would imagine.
I have had to defer my studies by a year. I've taken the year off. My co-founder and the other head coach of the other portfolio are still studying, but I've taken the year off to try and work on this full time. We have a couple of staff that are also dedicating a lot more of their time to the project, to get it registered, to get it up and running, to get it to other universities. We've been asked a few times if we can move beyond just Stellenbosch University.
Okay. I want to ask you to respond to an email that's just come through to me saying the following. There is no culture in South Africa that condones or promotes rape. Please do not spread fake news. If you really care about rape, consider the many vulnerable citizens in jail who are regularly brutally raped. How do you respond to a statement like that, that there is no such thing as rape culture in South Africa?
I can very, very affirmatively say that that's not true. Simple example. If I run a workshop with the heads of a women's residence and I ask them, how many of you have been followed home from a club at night by a man who is trying to sleep with you, and you've said no, you don't know him, he's just a stranger who's following you home from a club. In an average room of women, probably about 6 of them out of the 20 will put up their hands and say that they have. Last year, I got 36 phone calls at 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning, from women who have been raped or assaulted on Stellenbosch campus, who are not able to go to the police, their families, or the university because they're just too embarrassed. They're too ashamed. The actual system that's in place to protect them doesn't. It embarrasses them further. Another example would be, there is a repeat offender at Stellenbosch University. I'm not sure if he's a student. That information hasn't been given out, but he's now been accused of rape twice. His bail set for the first accusation was 500 Rand. The second accusation was 1,000 Rand. That's in comparison to things like student protesters who get bails of 3,000 Rand. That bail is set based on a number of things, but one of those is, how dangerous are you to society and how severe is your crime? If our legal system thinks that rape as a crime is so much less severe than protest, which is a democratic right, I think it's safe to say that embedded in our legal system itself, there is a rape culture.
Thank you for that very eloquent response. And take that as my response to the person who sent that email. It boggles my mind that somebody can still make that statement in 2017. Just in closing, Rochelle, because we have run out of time, you are busy going through the process of trying to get yourselves registered as a non-profit organization. Where to next from there? What will that status offer you, a platform to do more?
Yes, we really, really need to move to other universities. We're busy working on sort of national policies that we'd like to start implementing. But to get that done, we need to get registered. To get registered, we need to raise funds. So we're desperately running a fundraising campaign at the moment and trying to get our website up and running, get that registration done. From there, it's a matter of trying to open branches at other universities and apply to things like the National Lottery for funding as well.
If there are listeners who feel they'd like to help, they'd like to get involved, perhaps support you with fundraising efforts, how do they make contact with you?
You can check out, first and foremost, our Facebook page. We're currently running the 100 Heroes campaign. And basically, all we need to cover our first 3 months of expenses is 100 people who are able to donate 500 Rand each. If we can get that done, we can get registered. We can get our website up and running. We can reimburse some of our staff who have paid from their own savings and their own income to try and, you know, keep us running so far. And then if they look on the Facebook page, all the information is on there. We also have a Google Drive that you can access through the Facebook page that gives all of our information and what our plans are for the rest of the year.
Rochelle, I hope you'll keep in touch and let us know how it all goes, and let us know once you are registered. I have no doubt you'll get there.
Thank you very much.
Come back and talk to us another time. It's certainly a story that is only beginning, the story of Unashamed. Rochelle Jacobs is one of the co-founders of that organization. Thanks for coming through.
Thank you. Bye.